It's time once again to continue our studies in contrasting the Word of God. And we're just going to recap a little bit today because we're on Lesson 14. But I want to just take you back to Lesson 1 and we'll work our way up through here. And also, if you have any questions on that, we can continue that. But if you remember back in Lesson 1, when we're contrasting the Word of God, to understand what God is doing today, everybody wants to know what the will of God is, right, for them. And they a lot of people will pick and choose what God wants you to do this, and God's in this, and God's not in that, and all. And we learned through some things that God's in everything you do. Just remember, if you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, He's in everything you do, and He allows you to make decisions, doesn't He? So when you get the Word of God inside of you, you have to determine what is right and what is wrong. I know many of us are sitting here and thinking, well, you know, we thought before we were saved and started coming to understanding some truth, we really knew what right and wrong was, didn't we? You know, I think God puts everybody, a conscience in everybody, to understand some types of right and wrong. You know, you don't make a right on red if it's not posted. Or if it's posted not to turn right on red, you don't turn right on red. You know things like that of the world. But there's a right and wrong that God puts a conscience in you that if you allow Him to allow that conscience to work, then you can make some decisions based on that. But there is another thing when you trust Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again, and you get the right doctrine in you, you can really know right from wrong. And that's where we're at in our spiritual life, the fact that we can discern what's right from wrong. And the contrasting of God's Word, when you rightly divide the Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, we know that. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, is that truth from error or truth from truth? What was that? It's truth from truth. Okay? And that's what the Word of God is. It's all truth. So when you understand the Word of God rightly divided, you also have to understand there's programs in God's Word, aren't they? You know, we look at the twofold purpose of God's Word. There's a prophecy program and there's a mystery program. Okay? And inside of that, there's a threefold division. Times past, but now, and ages to come. So when you understand the Word of God, you put it in God, you put God's mind on, because you have the mind of Christ, you put it on and you understand what God is doing. Can I share something with you? God is a dispensationalist. I know that upsets a lot of people. But God dispenses His program throughout the ages. When we look to God's Word, we look at the dispensation of promise. Okay, that's from Adam to Moses. Then you look at the dispensation of the law. That's from Moses to Christ. Okay, or Paul, if you will, when Paul gets raised up. From Paul to the rapture, the catching away, is the dispensation of what? Grace. That's where we're at right now. And from the rapture to the judgment, the new earth, the new heaven and earth, it's the dispensation of the kingdom. And then there's a dispensation of the fullness of times. When God takes what He did and, you know, for the universe, well, basically what's in heaven and earth, and brings it under the fullness of time. So God's timeline, that's what this is when we look at the Word of God. You look at it through a timeline. Now, many of us write timelines. I notice on Facebook, they got a timeline now, don't they? You know, I get a post from Lori, has posted on your timeline. You know, there's a time period all through your life from the time you was born to the time you die. And we keep records of certain things, don't we? You know, in our mind or down in your Bibles like you used to. I used to remember going to Grandma's house and you open up the Bible and there was a timeline. You know, her dad, mom, and you know, and all. So when you look at the Word of God, you look at it as a timeline, not just a chart. It's a timeline. And we looked at the first lesson was between prophecy and mystery, wasn't it? Remember what prophecy is? Something
spoken.
Spoken what?
Since the world began.
Since the world began, okay? And a mystery is what? Something kept secret since the world began. So right then and there, God made a distinction. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, okay? He made a different distinction between the heaven and earth. That program follows all through the time of God's Word, okay? Then the second was a focus. What was the focus of the prophecy program? Where's the focus at?
Earth.
Okay, Earth. Very good. And what's the focus of the mystery program?
Heaven.
Okay. And then we looked at Jesus Christ as the King of Israel. And we also looked at for the prophecy program, God takes the nation of Israel and uses the nation of Israel, brings them up, and through them, through that instrumentality of what He's doing on earth, He was going to have preeminence. He's the head of, He's the King of Israel. Okay? But in the body of Christ, He's what, known as what?
Head of the body.
The head of the body. Then we looked at Israel as God's chosen nation. Okay? And we also looked in a contrast to that is the body of Christ is neither Jew or Gentile. See? There's a big difference there, people. Then you look at the fact that God redeemed Israel to rule and reign with Christ on earth. That's over there in ages to come. God will redeem Israel. Back here in times past, was they a redeemed people? They was a separate people, wasn't they? Okay, God chose them. He justified them. They supposed to took the law and sanctified themselves to separate. That's what the purpose of that law was. And then you look at the body of Christ to rule and reign with Christ where? Okay, you trust Christ did what died and buried and rose again. He takes you. He places you in Him. He separates you from the world. Okay, He has done that. Sometimes we don't do that. We don't understand what God did when He died. When Christ died, and you believe that, you trust that, you're identifying His death with your death with His death. His death with your death. That's right. Then He's buried. You're identifying His burial with your burial with His burial. Then He rises again, rose again, you're identifying with that. So when you identify in that, He's placing you in that with His likeness, and you're with Him. So He separates you from all things of this world. But it's hard sometimes, isn't it? It is for me. You guys are saying, no, it's easy. It's hard. It's hard to live in this present evil world, isn't it? When things are coming down on us, and pressure, and just, you just want to clam up and run or go in a closet and hide. But, sometimes you just have to sit there and face it and say, something, I'm in Christ. And He gives me the mind and I can make some right decisions. It may not be the popular one. That's why understanding the Word of God, rightly divided, it's not a popular message. When you stand for the dispensation of grace through Paul's distinct message that God gave Paul for today, and you make a stand on that, and then get into the grace life and allow that doctrine to work in your life, that goes against a lot of the people's religious. They're like, you think you got a license to sin. And all that stuff. And that's nonsense. It's what Christ did for us at Calvary. Then we looked at the Gentiles to be blessed through Israel's rise to kingdom glory. And then we looked at the Gentiles to be blessed through the what? If the Gentiles in times past and ages come is going to be blessed through Israel's rise, what about today? The contrast is that Gentiles are blessed through what? The fall of Israel. Israel has fallen. They have diminished. They have been cast away, according to the Bible. And a lot of people get upset with that. They really do. Because they want to put Israel up back up here on top and want us to be a part of them. And God is directly not doing that. Distinctly of not doing that. And we're going to see in a couple more weeks about that dispensation of grace. And what God is doing with Israel and what He's doing with the body of Christ. Then we looked at the central gospel of the gospel of the kingdom. And the central gospel for the dispensation of grace is what? The grace of God. Okay? You got a gospel for the prophetic program, the prophecy program, the central message of that gospel is the kingdom. Okay? For the dispensation of grace, the central gospel for the but now is the gospel of the grace of God. Then we looked at who was the chief apostle for the prophetic program on earth?
Peter.
Yeah, Peter. Okay. And then who's the chief apostle for this age?
Paul.
Then we looked at the number 12 being associated with who?
Israel.
Okay. 12. 12 princes, 12 thrones, everything with Israel, number 12 when you look at it. But the body of Christ, what number is associated with the body of Christ?
One.
You got one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Then we looked at, was a big one, the physical and spiritual baptism. You know, that disturbs a lot of people. But Israel, in times past and ages come, they get a physical baptism and they get a what? A spiritual baptism. But today, in the body of Christ, what type of baptism that God is requiring today? That's right. It's what He's done. He placed, once you trust Christ died for sin, He takes your spirit and baptizes it in Him. Identifies Himself with Him. And that's what matters today. It don't matter what this flesh does it? You know, what we want and all that. I was asked yesterday at a little gathering about when was I first saved? And I said, well, when I was 8, 9 years old, I went to a church that taught Jesus Christ. And, you know, I knew all the head knowledge and who He was. And from that point on, I used Him as a crutch. But up till 1992, 93, when these guys came to me and showed me clearly what Christ did for me, I can say now that I do understand where I'm saved. I do understand that Christ died for my sins, buried, and rose again, and I took it personally. Did I know about it since I was that high? Absolutely. But I couldn't really honestly tell you if I was saved. Now, you know, as you talk to these brethren, they say, well, you were saved, brother. You know, they just, you know, you were saved when you did that. I couldn't really tell you. And the lifestyle that I lived, it wasn't pleasing, but that still don't, you know, you got to understand the Word of God on some things. I could have been saved, but I didn't have the knowledge of what He wanted me to do through His Word. So you got to look at some things about the baptism and who you are in Christ. That's a contrast. Then we looked at physical and spiritual circumcision. Okay? Physical and spiritual circumcision of the nation of Israel. What is it today? Spiritual. Okay? God does the cutting away. God does the circumcision of the heart and all. It's always been right here, the heart. Always. Even though it was physical back here, God always required a heart attitude towards anything with God. You know, and that's why it's sometimes hard for us to look at somebody and say, that guy's not saved, or that woman's not saved. They might be saying the same thing about you and I. If you think about it, you know, so it is a heart attitude with God. But that heart is that conscience that we talked about, a part of that conscience. And hey, don't that conscience tell you what to do sometimes? And if I go out pleasing the flesh, I'm not listening to my conscience. I might listen to it after I've done something. Although, I got a call type of thing. Remember, before we looked at worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Then we looked at lesson 12. We looked at atonement yet future. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Acts chapter 3, we looked at. That when God will send Christ from heaven over here. When the times are refreshing. There's going to be a refreshing time over here that God's going to send Jesus Christ. And that's when their sins blotted out. Now, do you want to be in a program like that? That you're constantly worrying that my sins are, you know, what about my sin? That's why a lot of people says they have altar calls every week. And they convict you back there, and, you know, you were saved last Sunday, you come up Sunday and get saved again. You know, constantly keeping people under law, under a thumb. And they, you know, constantly keep you in programs and stuff that beat you up and say, you know, you're not worthy to be saved. You're not saved till I tell you you're saved. Okay, many of us have been there. But to understand what God is doing today, you have atonement now, according to Romans chapter 5. Amen. Read the first 12 verses. It makes a difference, don't it, brother? You know? To have that 12 verses of Romans pricked in your heart, changing you. And then last week we looked at the fact that the goal for the prophecy program was the God of heaven to set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. Jesus Christ to have preeminence on the earth. And we went through a lot of verses last week in the fact that God's plan on earth was to bring heaven on earth. Did you know when Moses and the tabernacle that they laid out, what is it, 50 by 100? Something like that. That it's a pattern what God is in heaven. And it's something because the ark was how 50 by 300.
That's 100 yards long.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get in trouble here because I shouldn't know this. But anyway, the ark is three times as big as that tabernacle. And there's a pattern. And if you look at the Word of God, a lot of people want to put the universe in a circle. But it's not in a circle. It's in a rectangle. Just like your Bible. You notice you don't have a round Bible. Could you read a round Bible? You got a rectangle. And this is the universe. And God sits up here. Okay? So, and when He flooded the universe, He flooded this box, if you will. And then He separated it. And He put, and the earth is right there in the middle of it. Not the sun. The earth is a center. It's His footstool. Do you put your footstool behind you? In your recliner? It's right there in front of you. Right there at the bottom of you. So when you look at that, and when you look at the prophetic prophecy program, that's what God is doing. He's bringing heaven on earth. And we looked at the verses last week, or last lesson, Deuteronomy 11, days of heaven on earth. Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 talks about this prophetic program, prophesied kingdom on earth, starting Daniel chapter 2. Then when Lord John the Baptist, Lord Jesus Christ, was on this earth with the 12, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Matthew 3, Matthew 4, Matthew 10. Then when Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again, which He had to do, and you can find that in the Scriptures, by the way. That's not a part of the mystery program. He had died and buried and rose again to fulfill what God was doing. In Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1 year in your Bible, God, the kingdom of heaven is offered to the nation Israel. Repent, be converted. Get inside what I'm doing, Israel. And that's all of Israel. But did all of them do it? No. We know that. Then when the Lord Jesus Christ rose up to Apostle Paul, He ushers in a new dispensation, and that kingdom on earth is postponed. God is not building a kingdom today on this earth. His goal through the mystery program is not to have a kingdom on earth. I think many of us know that. Where is it at? That's what the purpose, that's the contrast to form a spiritual body of believers to conform the image of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be seated in the heavenly places. And once we're taken out of here, guys, the kingdom is established. Simple as can be. And that's Revelation 11 and Revelation 20. That kingdom, that prophesied kingdom, comes all the way over here and is established. And you find that in what books? Romans. Oh, okay. I was going to say Romans through Philemon, but you find that postponement today. And then we looked at a lot of things. But we also looked in Genesis chapter 10 about another kingdom, didn't we? Turn there with me, if you will. Starting in this is lesson 14 that we're starting, but look, Genesis chapter 10. You know, I shared with you last week a little bit about a different kingdom. And in chapter 9, verse 1, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish what?" We understand that, don't we? Because what was before Noah? Peoples on this earth, wasn't they? Adam up to Noah, you know, and then he washed the earth, didn't he? Okay, and then he said, tells them to replenish. So that tells me something was here before. If you're going to replenish something, does that make sense? Okay. But Genesis chapter 1, hold your finger there in 9. What did he tell Adam and Eve in verse 28? Chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This was Adam. Now, I know I'm getting you thinking a little bit. You know, you don't have to give me the answer today. And it says, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and every living thing that move upon the earth. Almost the same. That was an earthly commission, by the way, that he gave Adam. You think about that. Was there somebody here before Adam?
Pre-Adamites,
maybe? You think about the gap theory we talk about? Something happened from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 2. There was a cosmic flood, the universe. That's what I just shared with you. This has to do with Satan's rebellion. Okay? But when he put Adam on this earth, he put Adam was going to be a prophet,
priest,
and a king. Chapter 9, he tells Noah, what kind of commission is this?
Earthly commission.
There you go. That's another thing about the kingdom, about the goal that God has set up before the foundations of the earth. And he says, multiply and be replenished. Chapter 10 says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and unto them were the sons born after the flood. You work your way down chapter 9, and he goes, verse 32, these are the families and the sons of Noah and their generations and the nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. If you read chapter 9 and chapter 10 to chapter 11, God told Noah to do what?
Replenish
the earth, okay? Be fruitful and multiply. And he had three sons to do that with. Okay? I wholeheartedly believe they did that. Because if you look at your Bible from the time they got off the ark to the time of chapter 11, when it says in chapter 11, and the whole earth was with one language and one speech, and it came to pass that they journeyed from the east and they found in the plain of the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Okay? And this is talking about what? And they said unto one to another, go to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had made brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad into the face of the whole earth. What did God tell them to do?
Be scattered abroad.
Okay? But here's somebody, after 150 years, they became one language. Okay? And somebody's telling them what to do. Look back there in chapter 10, verse 10. And the beginning of the kingdom...
His kingdom
was what? Now, who is he there?
Nimrod.
Verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He became... began to be a mighty one in the earth. A mighty one in the earth. Boy, if you become a mighty one in the earth, couldn't you rule and reign and convince people? He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. He's defying the Lord, by the way. They're saying, he's a mighty one before the Lord. Let me ask you this right quick. I just had a train of thought. I know it might be dangerous for some to listen, but who was Cain? Go back to where Cain killed his brother, just for a minute. What did he tell Cain that he was going to be? A vagabond. Now, what's a vagabond? Is that somebody just come here and sit down and stay for the rest of their life? A ramen. Yeah, there you go. Someone continues.
No home.
No home. A lot of people think truck drivers that way. But look, what did he do?
He settled down.
He did. I forget the verse that we're looking at. He settled down and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod.
Where are you?
Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. Genesis chapter 4, verse 12 says, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, and a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." That's what he told Cain for killing his brother. Okay. Verse 16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of..." Now, what did we say just last week? What was, where was the garden? And after the fall, God sealed it off. Where is Babylon? East of Eden. So Cain goes there, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of the son, Enoch. See how people just want to defile God? God said, "You're going to be the vagabond." And Cain goes, "Huh, you spared my life, basically. I'm going to go east of Eden. I'm going to know my wife. I'm going to bear a son. I'm going to build a city." That's not what God told him to do, was it? Keep that in mind, because that's what we do sometimes, don't we? Just rebel totally against God. We're going to do whatever we want to. So the flood comes. Then you get chapter 10 about Nimrod. You can't tell me that even was Christ's blood flowing through Noah's veins? So when he got on, when he had his kids and they started replenishing, guess what happens? They have kids, don't they? And they become rebellious. And they get out there and they said, "We're going to do this." And they did exactly what God told them not to do. They came right back into one city and started a kingdom there. That's why God came down and said he confounded the language and they scattered. I know this is... He never does. He never. If you heard that, he does not take away your free will. They might be there are consequences, and we found out later. But the kingdom on that kingdom, what I'm sharing, was not the goal that God set up on this earth, and that's why today that kingdom is running and ruling and reigning through the earth in many aspects, and people think God's in that. God is not doing that today, people. He's not building a kingdom on earth. He's building a body of believers to take with Him in the heavenlies, to sit in the heavenly places where and rule and reign with Him there. Through those powers and principalities and might. We looked at that last week. So in Matthew 24, a lot of this is meat that we're talking about here. You know, and we know that. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to digest. And that's what gives you nightmares. And that's what keeps you up at night and makes you snore. You know, and all this stuff where you can't digest your food right. In the same way when you eat the spiritual meat. Sometimes it may not settle right. And it may be disturbing. And it may say, like, "I don't know about this. I'm just asking you, just relax." You know, it'll pass, you know, and you sit down and you say, "Wait a minute, okay, that tasted good. You know, it's hard to chew, but it tastes good. So I'm going to relax a little bit and let God continue to grow." And that's what we want you to do when you listen to these studies and you come to Canton Grace Fellowship. We want to give you the Word of God where you can grow. Okay, that's what it's all about. All of us growing together. Amen? Okay, in Matthew 25, and this springboards off what we talked about as the goal, Matthew 25. Verse 34. Look at this. "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." What's that next word? "From the foundations of the..." Here is a kingdom. So at this point in your mind, What has been the purpose of this prophecy program in God's Word? What's that? Set up a kingdom. What? On earth. But what am I looking at? Has been the purpose, God's purpose, from the foundations of the world, from the beginning. So don't think that God, somebody all of a sudden, boom, He decided to make this kingdom. It's been His purpose from the foundation of the world. But let me share this with you. Go to Matthew chapter 4. With what we said about Cain, with what we said about Nimrod, what we said about Enoch, the city, what we're saying about the flood, what we're saying about replenishing, what we're saying about this, what we're saying about that, look at Matthew chapter 4. You should not be startled when we look at this type of dispensational view of God's Word, because it's there to be true. Matthew chapter 4, and get Luke chapter 4. Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Matthew 4 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward," what?
Hungry.
I'd be starved. for 40 days, 40 nights, and He's still hungry, right? "And when the tempter," who's that?
Satan.
"Satan came to Him, He said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.'" He's putting doubt in Jesus' mind. You think He knew who Jesus was? In all honesty. And what Jesus says, but He answered and said, "It is what?"
Written.
What is He using?
Bible.
The Word of God. See, you don't just pull stuff out of your mind. "Well, you think I'm the Son of God." No, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This is food, isn't it? Spiritual food. Do you know in Revelation chapter 12 that He feeds people with bread? Over here, when they run to the wilderness. See, Satan's using the Word of God to tempt them. Yeah, if you're... Because he knows what's going to happen over there. If he's God, he's going to do that. You remember back in Genesis chapter 3 and 1 John 2:16? Food's eyes looks pleasant. Follow me? Food. Pleasure. Yeah, the lust. I'll tell you what, you go hungry for a day or two. People sell their... if you could sell your soul, people do it, wouldn't they? You see people on signs, street signs all the time, hungry, will work for food. That's a bad situation. I've been hungry at times. And it's not a good feeling knowing that you don't have two pennies to rub in your pocket, but you always manage to find a morsel somewhere that fell on, to eat a cracker or something to hold you over till you get here. I think we live in a world today that we've got it made, every one of us. But if we go back to our fathers' fathers and they struggled and stuff like that, our kids don't know that. They don't know what it means to raise a garden and can food and fish and hunt. Them was some good old days, I think so. Then he says, but he answered and said, okay. And they just tell him, God does this. Verse 5, and the devil taketh him up on the up into the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. What is he doing? He's taking him up where? Yeah, he's showing him. What is he going to say? And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning them, and in His hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thou foot against the stone." If he falls before he hits this earth, guess who's going to pick him up? What does God, what did the Lord say? Jesus said to him, it is written. What is he using again? If you know anything about your Bible, you should use your Bible even when you're witnessing, okay? You can keep a lot of stuff in store, but when they start, yeah, that's what you say. Take them to the Word. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 6, the lust of the eye. Okay? That's Genesis 3, 6 again. That's 1 John. Cast thyself down, the lust, seeing it happen. Okay? Then again, verse 8, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You imagine this now. This is Genesis chapter 3 also. Pride and the wise. Look at what I've got. Man, there's times if somebody could show us right now, take us up on a mountaintop, said, I'll give you every bit of this. You know, chances are our flesh would say, and our pride would go, yeah, I want that. You know, when we put ourselves up in certain positions in our businesses and stuff like that, you can lift yourself up, you know, and be prideful and forget about everybody else. It's what I want. I tell my wife the other day, was looking at some vehicles. She said, maybe you need to get a little vehicle with better gas mileage, because I'm looking at this big H1 Hummer type of thing, you know. And she says, Edward, you drive a truck, one of the biggest things on the road, why don't you buy some? I had to look at my loved one, my helpmeet, in the eyeballs and said, honey, it's not about you. So I just had to lift my pride up and say, when I need your answer, I ask for it. When I, no, what's that sign say? When I need your opinion, I'll tell you about it. Is that how it goes? Yeah. Well, anyway, that's how you can lift up. It's all about me, what I'm going to get. Verse 9. And he said unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, how in the world can Satan take the Lord Jesus Christ up on this mountain? And every time you look at mountains in the Bible, it means king. It's a sign of kingdoms. And show him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory in them. He's showing them what's prospering out there. He's showing that merchandise back in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, the Prince of Tyre and the King of Tyre. Read that sometime. That's Satan's influence in those kings, and they was merchandising things. They was selling things. That's why when you get in the world out there, what does people want? They want things. You know, they got to have things. But to have Satan to sit up on that mountaintop and show Jesus Christ, God's Son, God Himself, the kingdoms. Now, how can He do that, people? He's the God of this world. What do you say? He's the Prince of Power of the Air. That's where He is, that's spiritual. He's the God of this world, physical, well, in a realm. You should think about that. That kingdom that started in Babel is all through here. It influenced the nation Israel so bad that they became spiritual adulterers. They went after these other churches. Okay? They was, if I can use that term, fornicating and committing adulteries. They was doing that. You can do that today in your spiritual life, thinking it's okay to go out here and do the, you know, go out any religion that you want to out there. I'm, it's tough, guys. I didn't hear that, did you? But look, in Revelation 12, the kingdom resumes. In Revelation chapter 12, the kingdom becomes who? The Lord's. See? But Satan says, you do it now, I'll give it to you. Is very tempting. So what does that tell me? Verse 10. And this saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. He used the word. Go to Luke chapter 4. It's the same account with Luke, but I'm going to show you just one word different that I really like better than Matthew. I'm sorry, Matthew, but I just... Luke chapter 4. It's a dispensation issues, guys. Okay? A dispensational issues. It's got to do with Satan's a dispensationalist. If God's a dispensational, which He is, Satan's a dispensation. Satan knows what's going on right now. But he showed God. He is the God of this world. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, same thing, Holy Mountain. Verse 3, I'm going to run through this really quick. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is what?
Written.
Okay? Verse 8, Jesus answered and said, "It is." He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is what?
Written.
Verse 9, And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast him down. We've seen that. What does verse 10 say? For it is written. Verse 12, And Jesus answered, said unto him, It is said. It is said, people. When God says something, it is said. How many times we looked at our kids or somebody and said, Hey, enough is enough. It is said. Or, you know, she just said, because I said so. But, you know, think about it. Yeah. So they what? They sit there and they go... Sometimes they'll turn their back and start murmuring, don't they? What'd you say? Nothing, Dad. I'm going to Mom. No, I'm just joking, Mom. But look, think about that. The devil is a dispensationalist. Go a couple more passages. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Get Matthew chapter 8. Keep your hand in Luke. Not only is the God of this world understands what the purpose of the foundation was, didn't he try to? Could he have interrupt that? Listen. I know you don't build doctrines on ifs. What if Adam didn't have a belly button or had a belt? You know, what if Noah didn't get on the ark? What if this? So you be very, very careful how you say that because it can lead your mind to other things. Just believe the Bible, but I'm going to just share what if. What if the Lord Jesus Christ did exactly what Satan said there? Now, I want you to think about something before you make something up.
Bypassed the suffering of the cross and still been king of this world, but Satan would have been God of our prince of the power of the air and the heavens.
Great answer. Hear what he said? If God bowed down, Lord Jesus Christ bowed down and became the God of this world, which he's going to happen over here in Revelation, Satan still has the heavens above the earth. See the power struggle? Didn't he want to be like the Most High? That's why nothing was going to stop this event right here.
The cross.
And from the beginning of the ages, Satan's been trying to thwart the plan of Calvary. From the very beginning.
So when they crucified him, he was a part. You know, God. Excuse me. Satan wanted that to happen. What Satan hates is the fact that God hid in Himself what He's doing today. See, that's why He hates the message of the cross. That's why it's okay that you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and do whatever you want to. Just, you know, He don't mind that. He hates the fact that what God is doing today, it's taken the heavens now. Let me rewind just back to us for a second. Go back a couple places. Satan's a god of this world. He didn't mind giving this up to Jesus or anybody. He still had the heavens, first and second heaven. Follow me? Now he don't have it. He's still the prince of power of the air right now in the goddess world. But there's a plan that God hid in himself, and we're going to see the foundations from before the foundations of the world, that what God was going to do. I believe that God would still had a plan to usher in the dispensation of grace. He had to take the heavens back.
But he's all-knowing, so he knew that his plan was going to work to begin with.
Yeah. So that's why I said, what if? See what I'm talking about? Well, what if God had a plan no matter what was going to happen? Amen? Look at this right here. Matthew 8. Who else was dispensationalist? Matthew 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of, was it Gerasene? They met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Remember what I told you about these people throwing his name around freely? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know people like that? I do. Thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Those cats knew that they got a time coming. With me? And they're asking Jesus, "Are you come to torment us before our time?" And he says, "And there was a good way off from them a herd of swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, 'If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine.' And he said unto them, 'Go.' And when they were come out, they went to the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters." You know what they're doing right now? They're in the sea. They're hiding. That just got them away from Jesus because they're scared. Are you here to torment us of times? They're going to be tormented. But they jumped in that swine to jump in that sea to hide in the deep. You do a study on the deep, and it's nothing pretty down there. The beast, the death and hell gave up, and there's no more sea. So their time is coming. Think about this. When you put one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea, it dries up how much? When Lord Jesus Christ comes back,
one-third.
It's gone. One third of humanity is gone. One third of the earth is gone. One third of the sea is gone. That dries things up. They got their day coming. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Or Mark chapter 5. Luke chapter 8. Mark chapter 5, Luke chapter 8. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 says, talks about it came over to that sea again, and when he, verse 2, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tomb, a man with unclean spirits, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adore thee by God, that thou torment me not.'" They know who he's coming. They know that time over their ages has come. It's going to happen. He said unto them, come out of that man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is what? Legions, which were, for we are, get that, legions? There's a movie out there a couple months ago about that. And he says, verse, now there was nigh unto him the mountains and the great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. You know, giving somebody leave, they're going to come back, aren't they? Take shore leave. Leaves of absence. You know, you're coming back. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. See what I'm talking about? Go to Luke chapter 8. And then we'll... I've got to share a couple more verses with you right quick. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 says the same thing. Verse 26. It's the same account of them. So I'm not going to read that again. But the thing is, you see these devils in this earth, when Lord Jesus Christ came, okay, they knew who He was, and they'd ask Him, are you here to torment us before our time? What time was that? But what time did Lord Jesus Christ walk in? And times past. Okay? The contrast with that about the foundations of the earth. I just wanted to show you that, the fact that what Satan and his angels, if you will, are dispensationalists.
They knew the timeline.
They exactly knew the timeline. Okay? And what did Jesus say about Satan? He was a liar from the beginning. He is denying everything what you're reading and in God's Word. And there's people out there denying the Word of God today, right?
Religions.
Yeah, religions. And that's why I say you've got to be very, very careful how you jump into that type of religion. I don't care what they are. You know, you could just jump into TV religion. You know, religion's religion. It means return to bondage. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 right quick. Ephesians chapter 1. The contrast of the foundation, the God's purpose from before the foundations of the earth. You got something from the foundations of the earth was God's purpose in the kingdom program, okay? With me? Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, what's that word? Hath blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual. And where? Heavenly places. Who hath. Can I share with you today that's a done deal? He's already given that to you right up front.
Spiritually
blessings, yeah. I really love for somebody to say, hey, here's your new home. Here's your vacation paradise for the rest of your life. Up front. Well, we do have one in heavenly places, don't we? But look, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world. Got that? God's purpose for this mystery program and the dispensation of grace for what He's doing in the heavenlies is something before the foundations of the world. Got that? Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3. When you come to the book of Ephesians, it's talking about advanced mystery truths. And you can't understand what He's doing unless you get Romans down, okay? Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians. Romans is the first book of doctrine. We know that. You get that down, it's forever settled, the foundation. Then if you want to know what God is doing for you eternally in the heavenly places, you go to Ephesians. Verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward." Chapter 3, verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be," and if you got any other Bible version, it'll say "with Israel." That's error, because you don't have a promise with Israel. You have a promise with God. You have an inheritance with Jesus Christ. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given." Paul's the grace giver. We look at Moses as the lawgiver. But people won't recognize Apostle Paul as authority.
Rob Paul, pay Peter.
Right, exactly. And he says, "And to me the effectual working of His power, and to me who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of" what?
Christ.
You know, there was unsearchable riches of Christ preached to the Gentiles. Think about those riches. But now you can find them. See? He goes, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in" who?
God.
"Who created all things by Jesus Christ." You got to have the right Bible to have that last phrase in it, "by all things by Jesus Christ." They won't let you know that Jesus Christ created all these things. "To the intent." Why? Why? May I ask you? To what? To the intent that now, it says, "until the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." What church is that, people? The body of Christ. It's not the wilderness church that Moses started back there in the wilderness, that in Pentecost that was added to that church. It's not that church. It's the church, the body of Christ, that the powers and principalities in heaven places. There's powers and principalities and mights up there right now. There's governments. And you're making a difference, it says, "according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Whew. That's a lot to be said there. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Man, you read that down through there about it was hid in God. Now, I know some brethren out there believe this is a mystery truth, that what Paul preached was, you can find it in Rome, you know, find it back there in the Old Testament. You can't find this, people. It was hid in God. Now, God in the Word, people say, well, it's the same. But you got to look at some things. You know, I know. Let me ask you this right quick.
I wanted to make sure that Satan didn't know what the plan was.
I said 2 Timothy and get Romans chapter 1. We're getting ready to close. 2 Timothy and Romans chapter 1. Verse 8 says, "But now thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, His prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath," got that? "Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began." Okay? This is what God purposed in Him for the body of Christ. And when you put yourself in Him, then you get all that. It's not that God predestinated JJ to have all these treasures and have all these blessings, and He didn't do me. That's Calvinism. And it's wrong. I said Romans chapter 1, I'm closing with this, getting on the fact of what was hidden God. He purposed this in Him before the foundation. That's why you look at the timeline, it don't show what He did over here before the world. The timeline starts with the promise of the nation Israel. Okay, that's what you're looking at up here. But before all of that, this is what excites me. People call me peculiar anyway. You know what I mean? You're a peculiar treasure, a peculiar people. Israel was too. But before all of that, before of... Man, if we had videos going on right now. But before all this, y'all know where I'm at, right? Before all this, you recovered well. Thank you. Before all this, God had this planned.
Amen.
That brings tears to my eyes because I'm a part of that. You know, I'm not part of this. Wow. Romans chapter 12. I mean, Romans chapter 1. That is what people need to know. They need to know where they're at right now. You want to find the will of God is? Get right here in Romans through Philemon. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let me ask you this right quick. Paul's the apostle to who? Gentiles, okay? We know that. It says Paul. Verse 1. A servant of Jesus Christ called to be apostle, separated into the gospel of God. You see that? Mm-hmm. He separated the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You see that parentheses? Mm-hmm. Concerning his Son Jesus Christ, by our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There's people right now will tell you, see there, Paul's message, the gospel of God, was hidden in Scriptures. Don't shake your head no, because what is the gospel of God?
Could there be a redeemer?
That's the good news what God, Peter preached the gospel of God. Mm-hmm. The good news what God was doing. So this should not affect people, but there's brothers out there preaching this. So see there, the mystery, Paul didn't know the mystery till later on. But read it this way, without verse 2 for a second. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated into the gospel of God, concerning his Son, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to flesh, to declare his Son with power and according to the Spirit and holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel of God. And you can find that back in the Scriptures. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, promises a Redeemer. Okay? So when you read the Word of God, remember we talked about there's a gospel of the kingdom, there's a gospel of what? The circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. We broke that down before to show you what each one was. And they are interdispensational teachings, the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. Mark talks about in the beginning the birth of Christ. See? But what makes Paul's distinction is the revelation of the
mystery.
Until next week.
Gospel of grace again.
Amen.